turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10. We are continuing on looking at the consequences of the resurrection of Christ. And we come to this passage here today, a familiar passage which gives us a look at the resurrection of Christ as it relates to his ongoing work in our life flowing from his death and resurrection and his continuing to be our shepherd. I'm going to read for us verses 1 through 10. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will go in, he will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Let's pray. Father, we come here this day and we are keenly aware of our great need of you here today. We pray that you would take your truth and make it alive in us, Lord, truth that some of us have known for years and years and years. And yet, Lord, your truth is always alive. It always is at work. And we ask you that you would make it live within us here today. Father, for those who don't have ears to hear, that you would grant them ears to hear your voice. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. This passage is a common theme through Scripture, that is, God Himself being the shepherd of His people, and we see it repeated from the Old Testament throughout the New. And something that's a popular image of Christ, the Good Shepherd with a little lamb on his shoulders carrying him to safety, or reaching down and pulling the little lamb out of off the edge of the cliff. And it's a comforting thought that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Jesus, gentle, meek, and mild. This passage here before us gives a view of Jesus the shepherd which is not quite so accommodating as our modern concepts of the Good Shepherd. It has here a statement of exclusiveness that is unpopular in our modern world, and not just in our modern world. In fact, it's really always been this way. It's just varying degrees of popularity. And there was a time in this country back probably the 17th and 18th century when it was fairly well accepted by most people that there was only one true religion, the Christian Protestant expression of faith in Christ. But that has not been the case for the last 250 years, and increasingly our country sees the exclusiveness of statements such as Jesus makes here in this passage as being dangerous, as being narrow, as being given to division and prejudice and bigotry and abuse of power. And so we need to look at this passage and consider its implications for our own lives. Jesus very clearly says here that there is only one way to salvation, only one way to God. There is only one truth. There are not many ways to God. There is only one. He says very clearly that having faith is not enough. Having faith is not the issue. Everybody has faith. Everybody is part of some faith-based organization. Because everybody has to believe. Everybody is trusting the evidence of someone else. Even the scientific community is part of a faith-based community. The community of scientists who believe in the experiments of others, who believe in the laws that they have established, who believe that things are going to go on like they've always gone on, that the laws of nature remain the same. It is a faith-based community, scientists are. And so is every other community on the planet. Everyone has faith. The issue is not whether we have faith, but Jesus makes it very clear that the issue is in whom or in what do you have faith? To what or to whom are you looking as the solution, as the answer, as the organizer of your life? And he says that faith in him is the only correct faith. That all the religions of the world and all the other expressions of faith are wrong. That they're not neutral, in fact, he says. He says that all that have gone before him, all that claim to be the standards of truth and of right living, are robbers. Are thieves. They come to steal. They come to kill. That is, idolatry was never seen as just sort of as a step toward the true faith. It wasn't as if people were kind of working their way into faith in the living God by having idols. And so there was somehow some value to idolatry or false religions. Quite the contrary. False religions are a false claim to truth. They are the enemies of God. They are an expression of the truth that all people are worshipers, that everyone's made in the image of God, that everyone must believe in something. But their claim, their way of life or their way of living is contrary to God himself. So for what is happening in our day here, where our government seeks to lump all religions together and call us all faith-based organizations, is just part of the policy that's gone on from the beginning, really, to see that it's the way that man looks at things. Whatever he wants to call truth, that's okay. Everybody has their own little God, and that's all right. The point is that you have a God. That's sufficient for most people. Not so, Jesus. Jesus says, if your faith is not in him, then you have been deceived. You are following after that which will lead ultimately to your destruction. It is not neutral to believe in someone other than the living God, someone other than Jesus as God in the flesh. Jesus says, everybody who's gone before me was a thief and a murderer. He is the only one. This exclusivity, this view that there is only one way, must be embraced by us. And the younger generation, I'm telling you, there is going to be more and more pressure placed upon you to just blend in with everybody else's religious views, to not insist that there is only one way. As long as you can agree with the general morality, all religions sort of have the same morality. It's wrong to steal, it's wrong to kill, it's bad to be selfish. Our society looks upon all religions as basically having the same kind of ethical standard, the way of living. And certainly there is a degree of sameness in many of the religious views regarding morality across the board. But having said that, there are tremendous differences that must never be minimized. That is, the Word of God teaches that the morality that comes out of the life of a child of God comes out of a heart that has been transformed. That the bottom line is not what you do. The bottom line is what you are in your heart, what you are in the core of your being. And so the fact that Jews and Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus can all have more or less a generalized same kind of morality structure is not really the issue as far as God is concerned. He says that it's the matter of the heart that is the real issue. In whom is your faith? Who is your God? Who is the Lord? Who is the one that you love? Our society wants to blur the distinction and say, no, as long as you're a good person, then we're really all saying the same thing. We're all people of faith. Jesus said, that is a lie. That is the word of a thief and a deceiver. Jesus said that he alone is the good shepherd. Everything is to point to him and everything is to flow from him. And so this passage teaches us that there is only one truth, and it has been revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. And you younger people especially, you must grab hold of this. This is not sort of optional. This is not just a hobby horse that Bob and I are on or something. This is at the core of life itself. And you must be willing to stand and take the abuse and scorn that certainly will be heaped upon you in the next 30 years in this nation. Unless God does a great revival among us. Jesus says that the way to God is only one. And that way is the person of Christ. He is both the door and he is the good shepherd. He is the one who brings people through the door, and he is the door itself. That is, the good shepherd is the one who knows his sheep by name, and he calls them by name. It is not, as I saw a bumper sticker the other day, vote for Jesus or elect Jesus, as if we want to give him a vote of confidence. as if he needs our affirmation in some way, or that we're proving that we are choosing him out as the best candidates that are on the horizon. No. Jesus says, I call my sheep by name. Apparently, in the Middle East at this time and perhaps even today, a number of shepherds might have their sheep in the same fold for protection. And in the morning, then each shepherd would call out his sheep. And he knew them by name. And they knew his voice as well. God calls us specifically. He calls us and chooses us in a specific way, so that we who belong to God must say, he died not just for everybody or for all sinners, but he died for me. He knew my name and he called me by name. And he leads them to a life that is full. Here is the picture of a shepherd that is tender and caring for his sheep. The shepherd loves his sheep. In fact, he gave his life for his sheep. And there is this tender-heartedness on the part of the shepherd that we must treasure and value, because it's an expression of God himself, and the great love that exists between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is now pointed and directed towards us personally. And therefore we can be confident that not only did he bring us in by the door into a place of safety as far as being protected from the wrath that is to come, but he also leads us out. And Psalm 23, the waters and the beautiful pasture that he leads the sheep to is part of God's work in our life, that he knows how to give us a full life. It doesn't necessarily mean one that is rich as far as the material things of the world is concerned, but one that is full, one that is meaningful, one that meets the deepest needs of our being. God knows how to meet that which we really need. He knows how to give us a full life, one that is never boring. There is no boredom for the one who is in love with God. If you are bored in a relationship, then there is some question about the depth of the love. But when there is the relationship with the living God who loves us passionately, and because he's chosen us and called us to himself and put his love within our heart for him, there is a dynamic in that relationship that is not boring. If you are bored with God, I don't think you ever knew him. Because he gives to his sheep a life that is full, and you feel your life is empty and going nowhere, then maybe you don't know the shepherd. Because he knows his sheep by name, and he says, I have a full life for you, and I have a full life for you, and I have a wonderful life for you, a deepening relationship with me. And if you have not heard that, and you're bored with the prospect of living a life that is holy and in service to God and others, then maybe you don't know the shepherd. There's one condition for there to be a shepherd. There must be sheep. And if you don't see the Lord as a shepherd, maybe it's because you don't see yourself as a sheep who needs to be led. That you think you can find the good pasture by yourself. You know how to take care of yourself. You know how to make your life full yourself. You don't need to be led around. You're an adult. You're smart. You know what you want. Or you're a teenager. You know what you want. And so you don't see a shepherd, because you're no sheep. It's the sheep who've been called by the shepherd who understand, this is my shepherd. He's the one who's the source of my life. He's the one who gives me the full life, and there is no place of boredom. He knows how to lead me in and to lead me out. Lead me into a place of safety and lead me out for my life to be full. He's my shepherd. Not only does the shepherd know the sheep by name, but the sheep also know the shepherd's voice. As I said, the sheep apparently learned, just as a dog knows the voice of its master or masters, knows various people's voices, so the sheep recognize the voice of their shepherd. And there is an anointing from God, that is the work of the Holy Spirit within us, the presence of God within us, giving us a response to God Himself that enables us to recognize the truth that comes from God. And he says here that the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd and they don't follow other shepherds. They don't follow those who are pretenders, who are deceivers. And we find that in the New Testament, there were people who had become part of the community of believers. But then some false teachers came around and they were out of there. And they were following after the false teachers. And the response of the apostles was not, oh, what did we do wrong? I don't know why we lost them. He said, these people must not have belonged to us, because they followed a false shepherd. If they had really been part of us, and if they had been hearing the shepherd's voice, they wouldn't have left us to go after some false pretender. You can find that in 3 John, for one place. And there are people who part of Christian communities that I know people who were in the Christian church and they left and became Mormons. I don't know if they heard the voice of Jesus. I don't know how they could ever follow the voice of a Mormon. Unbelievable. No, if you've heard the shepherd's voice, if you recognize his voice, there's nobody else's voice you want to follow. And you know, you recognize it, you're looking for it, you're listening for it. There's something that God has done in you. He's given you anointing from God, and you don't get deceived. Finally, there is the possibility, and we find that in Scripture, and we find in other places and experience, that one can fall away for a time, and one can be deceived for a time, but God brings them back. Cannot ultimately and finally be deceived and led astray, because the sheep recognize the voice of the shepherd and they want to follow him. This is a great protection from the counterfeit gospels that are abounding in our nation. And they always have been. This is not an unusual time. This was the same thing. It was in the New Testament. It was in the Old Testament too. There are always these these counterfeit doctrines that lead people astray. And it's amazing to me how people get caught up in some of this stuff. And then I realized, oh, they must never have heard the voice of the shepherd, or they wouldn't be following after this nonsense. Be careful what you are attracted to. Paul recognized the danger, and he wrote to the Galatians, and he said, listen, you guys are getting following after a false doctrine here. Maybe you don't really believe. Maybe I've been wasting my time, as it were, because here you were going along so well, and now you're going off the deep end here, following after this all this religious stuff, following religious rules and everything as being the way to God. And he says, you need to come back to the simplicity and foundation of Christ. And you know that those who belong to Christ did come back. Those who had never heard the shepherd's voice didn't recognize it in the writings of Paul, so continued on in their merry way. We know that because Peter says that later on, that people had contended with Paul and so been led astray. So if you have been sort of tinkering with false doctrines, stuff that's new and fresh and different, and it's kind of exciting, I'm telling you, you better submit yourself to the teaching of the Word of God and submit to what it says, and so show yourself not to be a deceived and false believer. But to know that you are a true sheep belonging to the Good Shepherd, you hear his voice, you are committed to his word, and you cannot be led astray over the foundational issues of the faith. And those foundational issues, as Scripture describes them, are the very nature of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is the unity and yet the diversity within God himself as three separate persons and yet one God. There is the deity of Christ, which is very much a part of that. If you do not believe that Jesus is both God and man, then you have been deceived. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit apparently has not been upon you because you do not recognize the truth that God has clearly declared in Scripture. There is a salvation through faith in Christ alone, adding nothing to him, to his work, but faith in him alone. Those are foundational. And when other things start getting added on to that, those who truly belong to the Lord, who have ears to hear, recognize the falseness of the teaching. Not only do the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd and don't follow after others, but the sheep follow him. Not only do they recognize his voice, but they get up and they go where he leads. They obey. Out of affection and out of trust in the Good Shepherd, they follow where he leads. And he leads them not only to abundance of heart, not only to a peace and a joy and a sense of meaning and purpose, but sometimes he leads them to have their wool sheared. He leads them to perhaps poverty, perhaps a place of difficulty. He leads them to where they don't necessarily want to go, to have all their possessions removed from them. But they trust him and they follow him. Sometimes he leads them to death, to the place of sacrifice. But the sheep follow, because they know his voice and they trust him and they love him. And so they follow him to the place of sacrifice. You follow Jesus, you hear his voice, and you think that he always leads to the green pastures. Sometimes he leads to the place of shearing and sometimes to the place of sacrifice. But if you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, then you are willing to follow. Because he is your shepherd. You look to him. You love him. Jesus is the good shepherd to those who are his sheep. Do you belong to the good shepherd? Is he the one that you look to? Are you depending upon him? Do you hear his voice? Or has it become sort of boring to you? Old hat, you're tired of that. You're looking for somebody else's voice, sort of spice your life up. If you've heard the voice of the shepherd, then you want to keep on hearing it. And you will not only hear, but you will obey. And you will follow. But if you are here today and you say, I don't get this. It doesn't really mean anything to me. I hear what you're saying, but it's making no impact on me, Jack. You know, you're not getting through, Jack. You're not getting through. Whether you hear my voice is not important. But I'm telling you, you better hear the voice of God. And say, God, I need to hear the truth. And I need to hear it inside me where I live. Because if you do not hear the voice of the Savior now calling you to himself, you will hear the voice of the Savior one day telling you to depart from his presence forever. And he will not be good to you then, but he will be your judge. It's not optional. It's not simply a better way of living. It's a matter of life or death. Do you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd? Do you want to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd? Or are you still your own shepherd? Good or bad, but you're your own shepherd. God calls you to repent, to give it up, and become a sheep who belongs to the Good Shepherd. And those of us who know the voice of the Savior, who've heard the voice of God, I tell you, we need to give grateful thanks to God every day that He's given you ears to hear, that He's put in your heart a discernment, an ability to hear His voice and not be led astray into the nonsense and foolishness that is around us all over the place. I mean, give thanks to God that you belong to Him and that He's got a full life for you, even though it may mean the stripping of all that you hold on to, that you are proud of, that you are taking comfort in. And it may mean actually the sacrifice of your life. But nevertheless, it is a life that is full because it is filled with the Shepherd who laid down His life for you and picked it up again, raised again from the dead to lead us to a place of safety and then in and out with a life that is full. Let's pray. Father, you have given to us the Good Shepherd who gave His life for the sheep and then raised up His life again so that He might continue to call His sheep to Himself and that we might follow Him, obeying Him out of love, out of affection, out of trust. And even when you take us through hard places and where we don't want to go, and even when our life may be offered up as a sacrifice for the sake of others, for your glory, Lord, it is full. It is good. It fills our hearts with joy because we know that we've heard the voice of the Savior. We've heard the voice of the one who loves us with an infinite and incomprehensible love. And we thank you, O God, that we can look to you and know the confidence and the joy that you will lead us into your eternal place forever. I pray, Lord, for those here among us who have shut their ears, who perhaps even now are holding their hands over their ears so that they will not hear the voice of the Shepherd calling them because they want to be their own shepherd. I pray that you'll grant them repentance, Lord, to life. That you will open their ears, O God, that you will speak your word of truth to them, that faith might be born in their heart by the work and grace of your Spirit, that they might also hear and become those who belong to the Good Shepherd. O Lord, that none here would have to hear those horrible, terrifying words one day, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.